like us to take a look again in 2 Peter chapter 1. I'd like to read to begin with the first 11 verses of a very important passage. Simon Peter, the human author, who identifies himself as a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, those are his credentials. He writes to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He extends grace and peace that they be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith supply, moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Physical fitness, I think, is a very harsh taskmaster. In a perfect world, and this is just my idea of a perfect world, if you achieved a certain level of fitness, you would always have it. So, for example, if you actually managed to run a 3-minute mile at one point in your life, you'd always be able to do that. If you're able to lift 200 pounds in weightlifting at one time, you could always do that. You would always have that achievement. Or if you had a 500 batting average in baseball, you'd always have that. You get the idea. All those things that you achieve, that you would always have them. Now, that's my idea of a perfect world. But, of course, this is just one more indication that we don't live in a perfect world, because things don't work that way. You don't keep what you've achieved unless you continue to work at it. Another example, I'm a rather mediocre golfer. Anybody who's ever golfed with me, Mike, I know you're here, you can witness, attest to that firsthand. Anyway, others that I've ever golfed with know I'm a mediocre golfer. But I have this general expectation when I go golfing that I should somehow be able to golf at the level where I was when I was at my best. It absolutely never works that way, which is probably why I only golf maybe once every 2-3 years, something to that effect. I managed to lose whatever proficiency I had through a lack of practice. It's just not a perfect world where you keep that which you ever achieved at one time. Talking about athletic events, talking about athletes, all athletes have in common one thing, and that is the fact that they never neglect the fundamentals. They begin with the basics and they add additional disciplines to those fundamentals, but they never neglect the fundamentals that they started out with. So adding atop to the basics other disciplines that help them to go on to further and further achievement. I say those things because I see a similarity in all of that in the scripture passage that we have just looked at. I think the Christian life is very much like the athletic life. We never reach a level of mastery of the basics to whereby we can neglect those things and move on to other things. So it's a lot like the athletic life. I can never, for example, say that I've reached a level in faith and in love that I have mastered those qualities and say, well, that was great. I can check that off of my list. Now I can move on to knowledge and self-control and other qualities. Just like in athletics, if I neglect those areas, it's going to fall back again. So I need to continue to focus on the fundamentals and add certain qualities to those basic fundamentals. And so that's a key thing that I see in the passage that we're looking at here today, 2 Peter chapter 1. There are qualities listed here. In fact, I believe you count eight of them that we are to diligently pursue and add additional ones one to another. I think it's important that we look at these things this morning because we've spent a few weeks looking at the fruit of the Spirit, nine qualities in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The easiest thing in the world for us to do is say, well, you know what? We're done with the fruit of the Spirit. We looked at those nine qualities. We've done well with them. It's time to set them aside and move on to other things. Again, very much like the athlete who decides to neglect the fundamentals. I'll set the fundamentals aside. I'll move on to something else. We cannot do that with the fruit of the Spirit. We've looked at that, but I hope and pray that we don't set it aside and say, well, that was fun. I did well. I'm doing pretty good with the fruit of the Spirit. Now I move on to other things. No, these are the fundamentals, and I hope they've been as life-changing for you as they have for me because I've seen them in a fresh light. I realize this is the character of God that He wants to manifest in my life. He wants to do it with the Spirit of God, and I know that I need to yield to that so that God can do His work in my life. I dare not assume that I have a level of mastery of those things. Say, God has fleshed out His character in my life. That's great. Let's go on and do other things. No. I've got to continue to work at those things, yield to those things, even as other things are added in my life. We must constantly be doing that. So that's what I appreciate about Peter's list of eight qualities that we look at here. There are qualities that are fundamental, and we add to, we add to, we add to. And so again, keep in mind the athletic illustration, the fundamentals that we build upon. I want you, before we get into those qualities and look at each one, I want you to back up for a moment. I want you to consider verse 3 because this is a monumentally important verse for each one of us. Peter says that God's divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. This is so big and important in our lives. I want us to make it personal. I know it says that He's granted to us, but I want us to say me. In fact, I've listed it there where you can read it. I think it's important to reinforce the truth of this, that we say this together, that His divine power has granted to me everything pertaining to life and godliness. I want you to repeat that with me as we let this drill down into our minds. So let's say it together. His divine power has granted to me everything pertaining to life and godliness. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Good. I suspect, because there's only one answer, the rest of you didn't answer. It's a tough one to believe, but we need to believe it because that is a flat-out promise to us. God's divine power has given us everything. That's that key word, everything pertaining to life and godliness. That's amazing. Every single thing you need, every single thing I need to live the Christian life, His power has granted that to us. It is potentially there. If there's any problem with it, it's not on the supply side. It's like God is the store whose shelves never run bare. God never runs out and says, well, that's on back order. I got to get that to you later. It's never like that at all. God abundantly supplies everything pertaining to the Christian life and the godliness that He wants from us. So we need to savor the supply side of things as we consider what it is that He wants us to do and what He wants more accurately to do within us. When I think about what I just read there in verse 3, that lines up so well with the confidence that the Apostle Paul had when he would say in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I think some translations say through Christ who gives me strength. And of course, that lines right up because what God supplies, He gives through Christ. So that is completely accurate. But that power is available for everything that we need in the Christian life. And so that is the means through which He provides, as verse 4 says, precious and magnificent promises. I love the descriptive words. The promises God has made to us through the abundant power He supplies, they are indeed precious. There is no way you can calculate the value of what He has promised to us. They are magnificent beyond description. The promises that He's made, and it's again been on my mind so much this morning, the gift of immortality, life in the age to come, those are the magnificent, precious promises that He has given to us and made to us, through which we are told we become partakers of the divine nature. Another very interesting and important phrase, that we have become partakers, sharing together in divine nature. That means God's nature. He has allowed us through His promises to share together in the very character and nature of God. Again, that's what I'm reminded of the fruit of the Spirit studies that we were involved in. The character of God, His very nature being formed within us. God is making us to be like Himself through His Son Jesus. So it's no longer me anymore with all my weaknesses and flaws and all of that. That's still there, but God is increasingly building His character within. We're each one becoming a bit more like God. We won't arrive until the gift of immortality at the return of Christ, but there's a very progressive thing that's going on within our lives. And so with that as the basis, Peter outlines 8 qualities that we need to apply all diligence to make sure that we acquire. His list of 8 begins with faith and it ends with love. That's kind of interesting as we think of the fruit of the Spirit. It begins with love. Qualities that are built upon that. Peter's got a different approach under inspiration of the Spirit of God. And so the thing we begin with is faith, which is simply basic belief. And so with basic belief, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it has to start there. So as we come in faith with that basic faith, as we come before God, He says, add to that. So here's one to add to the list. Add moral excellence, which is also called goodness in other translations. So we begin with faith, but we need to also cultivate goodness. And again, as with the fruit of the Spirit, don't think of this as stuff you've got to do and try harder to do. Remember verse 3. God supplies these things. Surrender a bit more. Surrender a bit more to each of these qualities. So as you surrender, first of all, in faith, surrender more to the quality of goodness, which you are surrendering yourself literally to God, because God alone is good. Jesus clarified that in Matthew 19, verse 17. There's only one who is good. It is God Himself. What an amazing admission. He says, I'm not that God, because I'm not saying that I'm goodness in the sense that God is. God alone is good. Jesus had a choice with goodness. God has never had a choice. It's fundamentally who He is. So as we add diligently to our faith goodness, we add the nature of God. And to goodness, it says that we are to diligently seek to add knowledge. Easy to have a misunderstanding of knowledge. Book learning. Well, yeah, that's part of what knowledge is. You learn knowledge from the book, the Word of God. But in particular, in the original language, this knowledge is insight into the will of God. So it's knowledge of a specific kind. It's not the facts and the figures. It's insight into what's the way I ought to be walking in life. Which direction ought I to go? The will of God is that we are in the world, but not of the world. We talked about it in Sunday school class this morning. And so it is insight into what is God's will, how He would have me be separate from the rest of the world that's headed toward destruction. How would I live my life? Which way should I go? And so the knowledge that we are to add to is understanding the will of God. To knowledge, we add one more. We add also self-control. Only a few weeks ago, we talked about self-control from the fruit of the Spirit. And I believe that self-control ultimately is spirit control. And so it is coming under the jurisdiction of the Spirit of God to control our emotions, to control our behavior. And so we are under the power of Spirit to direct how we live and move in a certain direction. So we add self-control to that. To self-control, we are told we need to add perseverance. Perseverance is just another word for patience. Patience essentially means that we view time from God's perspective. Peter, a couple of chapters over, tells us about God's perspective on time. Very interesting, chapter 3, verse 8, he says that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. And that's just a basic, rough comparison. But that's the way it is with God. One day, one of God's days is like 1,000 years. We don't have the foggiest idea what it's like to live 1,000 years. Our whole lifetime's a fraction of that. But that's God's perspective. With Him, one day is like 1,000 years of ours. Kind of on the lighter side of it, I recall the story of the man who reasoned as he thought about this truth here, reasoned that if time worked that way with God, that money ought to work that way as well. And so with God, a dollar with God should be like $1 million for each one of us. And so facetiously he asked God for a dollar, to which, again, facetiously God replies, "I'll get back with you tomorrow." That's kind of weak, I know, but I had to throw it in there. So anyway, patience, perseverance. It's not about money. It's about time. All right. So seriously, that we take a look at it from the perspective of God. Things are slow according to our way of thinking about God. But God is patient, not wishing that any would perish. God's patience has a purpose. And we should be very, very thankful for that. If God was not patient, if time ended a long time ago before we ever came onto the scene, well, it's all a moot point. We would not have the opportunity of life, the opportunity of repentance. So to patience, we add the quality of godliness, Peter says. Godliness sounds a lot like goodness. There is a slight difference. Godliness basically is cultivating an awareness of the presence of God. That is an important discipline, that I become aware that God is in my life, that God is in the circumstances of every day, and that I'm keenly aware of His presence and what that means in how I live my life. So godliness means that I live, I act according to the very real presence of God that is burned into my mind, that I know He is there, I know He's involved, and of course I want to please Him. So to godliness we add two additional qualities, both of which have to do with love. I add brotherly kindness, or philia love, Philadelphia love. I also add to that then agape love, sacrificial love, the kind of love that Christ exhibited by laying down His life. So Peter says these are the things that you add to your life out of God's supply, again going back to verse 3. So I acquire these things as I surrender to those things, and verse 8 really frames the importance of doing so. For if these qualities, these 8 qualities, are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a great safeguard for each one of us. If we have these, if they are potentially in our lives, if they are increasing in our lives, we're not useless. We're not unfruitful as we live the Christian life. So it's very, very important that we continue to make progress in all of these ways. Verse 9 talks about the fact that if we don't focus on these things, we've become short-sighted and forgetful. Because whoever lacks these qualities is blind, or myopic, I believe, is the word in the original language, short-sighted. And that person is also forgetting what they have been purified from and for. And so it's important that we not lose sight, that we not forget that this process is vitally important if we're going to make our way to the kingdom of God. Reminding me of something I've been negligent of recently in my own life, and that is physical exercise. I'm talking about that quite a bit this morning. But I realized recently that I wasn't doing too well with physical exercise. I'd get out and walk maybe once a week or every other week. I was not getting regular exercise. And for whatever reason, it dawned on to me that I needed to take this a bit more seriously and discipline my life and discipline my body. I was realizing that I was very tired quite a bit. I was not sleeping well at night. So for the past few weeks, I've been disciplining myself to get up a bit earlier in the morning and get out for a 45-minute walk 4 or 5 times during the week. And it's working out pretty well. I'm sleeping better. I'm finding more energy. I'm less useless and unfruitful physically. And I think that serves as an illustration here. It's easy enough spiritually to forget and to neglect these things. So yeah, I know about the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, I know about these 8 qualities. That's good stuff. But to neglect to do those things, it's a little bit like not exercising. We begin to become useless. We become unfruitful in the Christian life. And so it's important that we take these things seriously. And as Peter says, diligently apply ourselves to those things. Verse 10 says that we need to be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice those things, you'll never stumble. So diligence in coming to terms with the fact that God has called us in Christ. And God desires to form these qualities in our lives. And so as we take those things seriously, we will never stumble. And as verse 11 reminds us, in that way we receive a warm welcome and entrance one day into the kingdom of God. And so it's that important because this is the pathway that leads to immortality. Again, I think about the priority of developing Christian character. As Peter has reminded us, as the fruit of the Spirit has also reminded us. And I realize that for these things to happen, there's really no simple formula that makes it all work. As Americans, we like our list and our ways of doing things. And I try to come down to that and I realize as I think about these qualities, the fruit of the Spirit, there's no simple formula that works one size fits all. Basically, the one thing that needs to happen for these things to take place is athletic discipline, which is why I've mentioned that so much today. It takes a certain discipline to get into position where God can do what God wants to do. I brought this morning not so much to wake you up as I threatened to throw it, but as a reminder, it is a horseshoe, as you can easily see, and it takes me back to my childhood because I spent a lot of time watching my dad throw horseshoes as I was growing up. And my dad's right-handed, I'm left-handed, I have a different way of throwing, but I watched him as he would swing that horseshoe and throw it down there, that he had almost a mechanical style. Every single one went down the same way. They would turn 3/4 of a turn. By that I mean they'd spin around 3/4 of a turn. They'd come this way and land 50-some percent of the time on the stake. And this is amazing. I would love to be able to do that. And so I'd pick up the shoes as a kid and throw them, and usually anybody that was standing around needed to get out of the way, because mine didn't exactly track the same way and spin 3/4 of a turn and land anywhere close to that post. A lot of times people that would stand off to the side of the thing had to get out of the way because they'd veer wildly one side or the other. But the thing, as I thought about that, as I watched over the years, watching my dad throw horseshoes and wanting to be able to do the same thing, the one thing that was missing with me was the discipline that would allow me to be able to do that. Because what I did not see was the fact that my dad, as a young man, would spend numerous hours, hours upon hours, out throwing until he got that style down to where he was able to throw horseshoes that way. And so while I wanted to be able to pitch horseshoes like that, I lacked the discipline and the determination to practice so that those things could happen. I think it all applies again to the Christian life. I believe that the Christian life is basically a life of disciplined practice. And I'm seeing that with far greater clarity, especially because of studying the fruit of the Spirit. And now in looking at these qualities that Peter has pointed out, it is a life of disciplined practice. I need to get in a position where God can work out these things in my life. I need to practice those things. And that's exactly what Peter said in verse 10. If you look again, he says, as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Practice is involved in playing the game in a real sense. So the secret to a fruitful and productive Christian life is the tedium of the ongoing practice. There is no shortcut. Wishing to be a mature, Spirit-filled Christian is about like wishing to be a good horseshoe pitcher without putting in the time to practice. Developing practice habits, studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God, finding the tools that help me to best understand that as I get into it, that is crucial. Practicing prayer, taking the time to get into the habit of prayer is absolutely essential. Practicing the presence of God, becoming aware of the internal presence of the Spirit of God. It takes time to listen, to get in touch and get in step with that. Taking the time, as we've done today, to be together with other believers so that we learn from one another of the practice of each other in this room. Those things take time and discipline, but all of those things are key. Again, the importance of what we looked at here in 2 Peter chapter 1, the adding to principle. We focus on one thing. We begin with faith. By the Spirit of God, we add each of these qualities that are listed there. We keep adding one to another until we make our way toward real maturity.